all the people. All right. Interesting. This is the church. If you go ask 10 people, what is church? You are liable to get 10 different answers. Okay? 10 different answers. So we're going to talk about what is church. All right? This is the church. We don't have a steeple, but this is church. It's all about people. All right? We had a big discussion about getting a steeple. And we just said, you know, if we want to resell this building, we can get rid of it faster without a steeple. So that is the only reason we didn't put one up there. Because I am so practical, right? All right. Today we're going to talk about what is church and what does it mean to be in a church. By the way, you're in church, all right? Just in case you didn't know where you're sitting, you're in church. And we're going to talk about that God puts people in church. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And actually, the moment that you get born again, he puts you in church. He has purpose for you in church. So we're going to talk about that. And it's interesting. So, let me just say, church is not membership, okay? Church is more than that. And actually, church is being active. Everybody say, be active. Pentecostals crying out loud. Come on. Be active. Yay. All right. You are. Okay. Now, this is what church is not. Now, I just told you, if you're taking notes, you get 10 points when you get to heaven every time you take notes. 10 points. Write that down. Church is. Yeah, right. I know. But just in case. All right. This is what church is not. CEO. Christmas, Easter only. I heard another minister say that. I liked it. I copied it. Write that down, okay? Because we have an E coming up real soon. What's coming up? Christmas, Easter is coming up real soon. And most of them, the CEOs will come out. And I'll use condemnation to my fullest. So just get on their case right now. You know, you're a CEO and you need to be here Easter Sunday. Get them to come out. All right, but that is what church is not, though, okay? Church is not CEO, but I will use it to my advantage. Church is not a membership role. There are certain denominations. You get born in that church, and you are on the rolls for life. Even if you're dead, I think they keep you on there, okay? Okay, but we're not talking about that. We're talking today on God's perspective of what church is, okay? And what he desires for you. Do you know God has lots of desires for you? Listen, I have a whole list of my desires, but God's got a list this big of desires for you. And church, he has desires for you about church. Okay? Now, so when you come in and you're a part of a local church, and all these people come through these doors, okay, all the people come through the doors, if they're not connected, they're not church. If they're not connected, they're not church. So that's one of those knots. They're not CEOs and they're not connected. They're not church. Because God wants you to be active. Be active. Everybody say be active. Be active. All right. That's what church is. So some people say, well, Pastor D, I come on Sunday. And heck, Pastor D, I come on Sunday morning and Sunday night. I'm in church. Well, maybe not. Maybe not, okay? So, 10 points if you're writing this down. Come on, you get 10 extra points. Being active is someone who literally does something in church. Write that down. Goes on your refrigerator, all right? Being active is someone who literally does something in church. Now, I know that doesn't sound deep revelation, okay? Because there's a lot of you here that are active. Okay, but I want you to get this message into you so you know why you do what you do. Why you do what you do, all right? And you won't get burnt out. You know why you're doing what you're doing. It's just fun, all right? Turn over to Matthew 16, please. Matthew 16. Carol, if you'd like to... Yay, Carol. Let's all give a hand to Carol. Tell you what. I give all sorts of last-minute stuff to her, and she always smiles at me. I'm not sure I'd be smiling if everybody dumped all the last-minute stuff like I do. And she just loves me. Hallelujah. Matthew 16, verse 18. I'm reading out of the New King James. And mine is a red-letter edition. Guess who's talking here? Jesus. Okay, this isn't me. Okay, this is Jesus. And this is what he says. Matthew 16:18. I'm going to read what I want to read here because I am pastor. But I will build my church and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. All right? I will build my church. All right? I will build my church. So who's going to build this church? Jesus. Jesus, he's the red letter. He says, I will build my. So that M-Y should be a capital M, right? That's his church. Jesus is saying, my job is to build church. I was like, good. My job is to build church. Okay, so this means this is not my church. By the way, this is not your church to build. Whose church is it? I'm telling you, I got so free when I read the M-Y word. Okay? Okay. Now, the problem is we get kind of possessive about our stuff. I'm telling you, if you've had kids, that's mine. She took it. You know, notice I said she. The boys never do that. Okay. So sometimes we get really possessive of what's mine, and we're going, this is my church, and they're going to do things my way because it's my church. Oh, yeah. You can't believe the stuff that people say. But listen, this is his church, right? And I don't even get to do things my way. I don't. Because I really had a series I wanted to do, and the Lord says, no. I was like, he didn't say, no, we can't ever. He just says, no, I want you to do a series on church. So for the next couple weeks, this is his church, and I'm going to do what he says because it's his church, all right? Now, Matthew 16:18, this is my church, I'm going to build it, right? So if Jesus is in the church building business, now I'm not talking about hammers and nails and wood, but if Jesus is in the church building business, I'm pretty sure he does a good job at it. I think it's probably going to be strong because he's Jesus, all right? But I also think that he wants us to understand what church is so we can be church. All right? All right? Everybody happy with me? So, this is how church, this should be your questions. Well, how does it work? How does church work then if we're supposed to be active, okay? Well, number one, to be the church, okay, of this church, and I'm going to give you a whole bunch of scriptures in First Corinthians 12, 13, 14. I'm going to give you a bunch of things in there. But to be a church member, oh gosh, I used to hate that, church members. But really, you are the church, and you are to be a member, and you are to be active. And to be active, you have to be functioning. Functioning. Joanne, do you remember that book we had a run off for Jack, Fit, Function, and Plur? Oh, yeah. Just, yep, have it. Excellent, excellent, excellent. And this book, I don't even know, whatever. But it talks about, and it's talking about the church. You have to be active, and if you're, the way you check to see if you're active, you're actually functioning. You have to function, all right? So, yeah, I like that word function. I know, I just love that word function. All right, so you have to be functioning. So be active. To be a member in church, you have to be active and you have to be functioning. Now, functioning, I didn't say be dysfunctional. I said functional, not dysfunctional. The church is not supposed to be dysfunctional. But how many of you know, sometimes it looks really dysfunctional, doesn't it? Susan's shaking her head. Yeah, you got that. But we're not supposed to be that. We are supposed to be active and functioning, all right? So, you know, how do I get to be a church member? Well, back in the day, that map over there used to have sign-ups of where members lived and sign-ups for where home groups were, and it was a lot of work. But I'm going to make it easy for you. How to be a church member. And you don't even have to put your name on the board here. How to be a church member. Now, first, let me paint a picture. Has anybody ever been to a country club? Has anybody ever driven by a country club? Has anybody ever wished they were at a country club? Does anybody know where a country club is? We have quite a couple of them in York. And I have gotten to go to the country club, the York Country Club here. I had the opportunity because somebody who belonged invited me. Somebody who belonged to the country club invited me. Now, in order to belong to the country club, you had to pay money, dues, okay? Now, and it was quite nice. It's quite nice up there. Okay, so you had to pay dues in order to belong there. And because they paid their dues to the country club, they had all these benefits. They had benefits. Like if you're at the pool, you could order some food and they'd bring it to you. Okay, that's a benefit. And I don't know if they do massages up at these country clubs or whatnot, because I haven't been in about 20 years. But there's a whole bunch of benefits. You can play golf on their, you know, terrific golf club course. But there's benefits because you paid dues. Now, people who enjoy the country club living, that's kind of nice, right? They enjoy this country club living, and everybody there is not about serving each other. They're not about how to help one another, are they? No. You're supposed to serve me. I paid money, right? That's country club living. Oh, everybody say country club living. Now, by the way, it's called YCC, York Country Club, or York Country Club of York. Okay, but this is YCF, by the way. We are not a country club. We are YCF. We are called the church, and we're not a country club. And yet, there are churches, not this church, we got our act together. I love this church. But there are churches that think they're a country club. Okay, Mark, come on down here. Mark gave me a testimony of country club churches. Now, Mark, we're not naming any names. You got to beep some of these, okay? All right? Mark told me a story because I preach my whole sermon as soon as I walk in the door. You know, okay. Mark told me a story about country club living, the attitude, and then whatever. Go ahead. I'll cut you off if I have to.
Well, I grew up in a church. I'm not going to talk about. But anyway, well, I was used to things in a certain way. And when I came here, when we first came here, I remember people helping out everywhere. We had a lot of people. There were people cleaning toilets. There were people cutting the grass. There were people helping out. There was like 25 or 30 ministries. Pastor Jack called all these different groups ministries.
Yep.
And I remember thinking, what's the matter with...
This is good.
What's the matter with these cheapskates that they can't pay people to do their stuff?
Say that one more time. What's the matter with this cheap church? Can't they pay people to do church?
That's what I was used to.
Thank you. I'm going to cut you off now because I'm going to preach the rest of this. All right? Thank you, Mark. I was like, ah! Okay, that's country club churches. Why don't you pay people to do stuff? This must be a really cheap church. No, the church, the local church, the Church of Jesus Christ, I'm talking now local church, is not how can you serve me? Because I pay you. It's called, Jesus said, you are now servants. So guess what you're supposed to be doing?
Helping.
Serving, helping, right. Be active, be functioning. Okay, so everybody say, we are not a country club.
We are
the church. And, you know, some people say, well, listen, I come every week and I sit. You are now a country club, expecting to be served. That's not church. It's not the Bible kind of church, guys. It's not the Bible kind of church. So everybody say, serve.
Serve.
Be active. All right. Now, I heard this pastor, and I couldn't quite pull it up, but so I just copied down his notes. This is years ago. Not that long ago, but anyway. He got this email where they interviewed a bunch of pastors of what people said in their church. You are going to hear a whole bunch of country club living. Ready? Here, number one. I pay good money. That means they pay their tithes. To listen, I don't pay money to listen to long sermons. These are real. These guys didn't lie when they wrote this. Okay, I've been in church, this church, for 25 years, and I have a right to get what I want. Oh, yeah, I've heard some of this too. Look here, Pastor. You need to remember who pays your salary. Woo, baby! This is my favorite. Now say ouch right now, because I am stepping on some toes. And then say, Pastor D, I love you. All right, here we go. This is my favorite. This is my church. And I pay so you can play the music I like. Now, if I were to take this whole row and this whole row and this whole row, just group you all together, there isn't one of you in all of this row that likes the same music.
That's right.
Yeah, all right? And you pay? It'd be off the charts, dumb. But if you'd like to be a leader on the worship team, you get to pick. Jason picks. Amber helps. I'll listen there, all right? But the rest of you, just because you come doesn't give you a country club mentality. And listen, there have been wars and people leaving church about music. Oh, dear Jesus, yeah. Now, I'll tell you a story, though, real quick. It's off the line, but I was invited to go with a group of ladies, Christian ladies, on a road trip to Joyce Meyer's women's ministry in Missouri. And we rented one of those big vans, I guess 15-seaters. What I did not know is the type of music the lead of the team listens to. Oh, gosh. Okay, no, I didn't say that. I didn't name. But it was a style I detest. And we had it was a 15-hour trip. About 10 hours into it, I lost it. They're popping in another one, and I just temper tantrumed. I can't listen to another one of these! And they all turned around, and then there were two ladies that agreed with me, and they go, yeah! Only thing, they were all looking at me. So we actually had division the rest of the trip. I had to apologize. But now, I am much smarter. We go on a road trip, I'll say, who's driving? And we're going to come to agreement. You can listen to one of yours, and then I can listen to one of mine. And then you can listen. Okay, we divvy it up, or I'm not going.
Headsets.
Or headsets, yeah. Yeah, okay. So please, I didn't mean to offend you if you like this particular kind of music, which Biz Penny didn't listen, okay? Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, but here's what I'm saying about all of this. You're giving your tithe to your local church doesn't give you entitlement. All right, because it's his church. And the only thing that you're entitled to is to be active, be functioning and serving with a smile. Okay, I'm going to give you some scriptures. And love, that's right. That's right. All right. So, what is membership if you have entitlement attitude? All right, this is what it is. I receive instead of give. All right, number two, I'm being served instead of serving. If I have entitlement mentality, my rights instead of, oh my gosh, okay, instead of responsibility, entitlement instead of sacrifice. So in other words, you know what I heard? This is like the terrible twos. Entitlement, country club living is like two-year-old temper tantrums. It's mine, and they splat on the floor. You know, and I give, so you have to do that. Okay, guys, but we're not. We're all grown up, right? We're the church. All right. So that's not how it works. By the way, it doesn't work like that. It does work like that in the world. And it does work like that at country club churches. But it doesn't work like that in the church of Jesus, the church that he desires us to be. You know, the church without spot and wrinkle? It doesn't work that way. All right. So actually, when you come to church, because God's placed you in a church, and God places you in a church. And one of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 92. I think it's verse 16. I'm not too sure, but it says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. Someone want to look that up? Is that verse 16? It is?
92nd Psalm.
I know it's 92nd Psalm. I didn't know what verse. Okay, look that up. Anyway, so I tell people, you ain't flourishing because you're not planted. And then my second part, 12, okay, Psalm 92, verse 12, those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish because they're active and they're serving. So there's a lot of people that aren't flourishing. We flourish here, some other church. All right. Hey, turn over for 1 Corinthians 12, would you guys? You can write this down. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 13, and 1 Corinthians 14. Very interesting thing about Paul when he wrote these chapters. He was writing them to a church that just needed a little help. Okay, they needed some adjusting. And the interesting thing is he uses an example about the body. He uses the body to explain how church. And if for all of you that are visuals, sometimes you're talking, rah, 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 but you put a picture up here, oh, okay, I get it. So Paul had this church that was going, rah, 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 and he gave an example by a picture. And he said, the church is like a body. It's got arms, it's got legs, it's got a head, it's got toes, all right? And he gives an example of, who is the church? How the church operates? So we're going to look at a bunch of that. Number one, he says, if you're a part of the body, it is not functioning, the rest of the body suffers. In 1 Corinthians 12, he says that. If you are a part of the body, and all of you, the day you met Jesus Christ, you became a member of the church, the body. Okay? And then you're supposed to get planted. So if God's planted you here, you are a member here. All right? So if you're a member and you're not functioning, if you're not functioning, if you're not functioning, if you're not functioning, things don't go real good. Okay? And he says the rest of the body suffers. I'll give you an example. Back in November, we had a cold spell and then it got really warm. So I put my flip-flops on one more time. And I went shopping. I went to Brown's Orchard, and I was buying apples, and I bought this I was like, I'm not going to pay this money. I could buy the no, I'm going to buy this. Bought an expensive jar of apple butter. I love apple butter. And I put it in the top of the shopping cart. In the top of the shopping cart, they had those two holes where some kid's supposed to sit with their legs. Okay? And my apples were down in here, and I'm pushing this thing. And I paid for my apples and then I paid for my apple butter and I stuck it up here and I pushed the shopping cart. It fell through the hole and hit my fourth toe, the one next to the little itty piggy. Only thing, I want to tell you, I squealed. I went to the ground and I was down like that. And pain from head to toe. And then I looked blood. And then I was squealing again. Yeah, I'm so mature. Okay. Now listen. So when a part of the body isn't functioning, the whole body feels it, guys. That might have been my toe, but listen, it hurt here. I almost threw up. I was such a baby. It hurt. It really hurt. I actually eventually did get an x-ray, and the doctor said, you didn't break your toe. You smushed it into four little pieces. It was smushed. It took 2.5 months of the pain to go away. So I was allowed to squeal like a baby. It was so bad. And do you know that they don't do nothing for toes that are broken? So, anyway. But I prayed. I kept speaking the word. And who saw? Yeah, my toe looked ugly for a long time. Anyway, where am I? Okay. Have you guys ever broke a leg or an arm? Especially a leg. You know, so we're this whole body, and then you break a leg, and it affects the whole body. Number one, they give you those crutches, and it makes your armpits hurt. Okay? It affects the whole body. And I never fails, you know, you're hobbling along and you're trying to protect the leg that's broken, and then you bump the good one. It is when something's not functioning in the body, when one part is not functioning in the body, it affects the whole body. You get it? Okay. Anybody ever break any parts here before? This is your war story. You go, yeah, I did. Mine was so bad. Okay. All righty. So 1 Corinthians, now it's interesting, 1 Corinthians 12, he's talking about how the whole body is to function. And then 1 Corinthians 14, he's talking about how valuable everybody is. But you know what's between 12 and 14? What number? You know what 13's all about? Love. So here he tells you about the whole body, every part, how it's supposed to function. And then 14, about how valuable you are. But he puts love in there because you gotta love this body. There are times you just drive me up a wall and I'm supposed to cover you. You got some quirky things in the body. Some of you are quirky. I am weird. Okay? I said that to Brenton the other day. I said, Brent, I preached my whole sermon to Brenton. I was so excited about this. I said, Brenton, you're weird. You need the body. All right? And you know what we do when Brenton's weird? Don't ask him about a particular topic. Shh. Yeah. We cover people with love. That's the real church. They cover. Okay? They cover us. Thank God. All right? Yeah, we got to have this love. All right. So when said all that to say is when all these things are working in the local church, the body parts, the love that we cover, and then everybody's valuable, we have the church. We have the church. We have a local church. So what's next? Now I know I'm supposed to belong to the body because I am in the body and I'm supposed to belong to this body. What do I do next? Well, you have to be actively functioning. You have to be actively functioning, all right? Now, myth, I'm going to give you, you know, Mythbusters? You ever watch that on TV? Oh, I just roar. Okay, but let me give you a Mythbuster concerning what is church. Number one, giving does not count as serving. Mythbuster number one, all right? Just because you give doesn't mean you're being active. You're functioning and you're serving. Doesn't mean you're really the church functioning, right? Okay? Now, the problem with that is just think about it. If that were the attitude, we're in big trouble. Because right now downstairs, we've got youth ministry going, children's ministry, and nursery. And if someone said, well, I give, Pastor, so I don't have to do anything. Well, number two, we'd probably be watching SpongeBob and Dora the Explorer downstairs. But we don't. We have people who have an attitude, not a country club attitude. They have a serve attitude. As a matter of fact, now, half of you I've probably approached, but after a while they got in the program and they said, Pastor D, I want to serve downstairs. And they're loving it. Okay? And you know, what they're doing is they're just not babysitting down there. They are teaching kids about Jesus. They're teaching our next generation who Jesus is, what their part is, and go get them. So can you imagine if the attitude's, well, I give, I don't have to do anything. Well, not. Okay, so Mythbuster number one. Number two, this one. First off, raise your hand if you have a job. I get people that tell me all the time, well, Pastor D, I can't serve, I can't be functioning, I can't be active because I have a job. Most of you have jobs. And try pulling that one over your wife when you come home. Well, honey, I worked all day. I don't have to do nothing. Bam, you're out the door. Okay? So you think it's any better in church? If you have a job, God still calls you a part of this body to be functioning, to be serving. Now, it doesn't mean you got 25 hours left over. Okay? But it means you okay, so myth number two. Mythbuster number three. I have kids. Well, just go talk to Stacy Clark. Stacy actually begged me to be in the preschool as a teacher because she just wanted to do something besides change diapers in her life. Stacy, in case all you know, she has twins, and Emma just turned six, and the twins are two. Oh, those first 2 years. You guys had a look about you. We would talk about you guys, the look of parents of twins. They have a look. Okay, its look is getting better, guys. You really, but so that's a myth, busted. All right, I have kids. I can't serve. Matter of fact, most of the time, my people down there have kids and they're serving. All right, myth number three, busted. You have enough people, Pastor D. I see them all doing things, so I don't need to do anything. Busted. Listen, guys, there are things that we are still not doing that God has placed in my heart and some of the leaders' hearts. And it's going to take everybody. Everybody. There was a season that we actually helped ministers. They would come in our congregation, and God would place on their heart to start a church. And we would help them plant churches, and we would send people, our people, over there. All right? Well, guys, I need everybody to do that. All right? My buddy, and I'll talk about a lot of them, is Pastor Tony Townsend. Pastor Tony and Liz. And he and Liz are my buddies. And we try to serve one another. And there's things that we need to do with them, but it's going to take all of us because we aren't there yet. All right? So bust it. All right? Bust it. So really what I want to say about this is don't let any excuse keep you from being the church, being active, being functioning, okay? Because, listen, God wants you to serve. Now, everybody say, why? Give me a two-year-old. Why?
Why,
Mommy? I love it. Why? Because I said so. No, the reason why, God said so, the reason why we should want to serve is because it makes you better. All right? It makes you better. Okay, it actually changes you. So turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. Am I there? Nope. 12, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. God wants to do stuff in your life, and it's not going to happen just because you have a job, just because you have kids, and just because you give. God wants to do stuff in your life. And you'll have to be planted and functioning in order to flourish. All right? So he wants you. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, 12. Here we go. For as the body is one and has many members, raise your hand, that's us, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Okay, what's he talking about here? Listen, there's all different people here. They're all different backgrounds. Y'all look different. You went to different schools. And you also do life differently. You have gifts that are different. You have gifts that are different. So there's many of us here, but we function different. We have different gifts. But guess what we are? We're one body. We're planted in one church, okay? So now let me see. Does your thumb know what your spleen is doing right now? Not. Okay? All right? There's a lot of things that go on in a church body that you don't know about. But let's just say I'm the heart, and I'm pumping. I'm pumping. Okay? And then my kidney quits on me. Okay? Now, then I got to go on dialysis, and then it just really goofs up my life. You got to go in hours and all that stuff. Now, is that body, is that heart still functioning? Yeah, it can still function for quite a while. The medicine has just gotten incredible. But is it functioning and enjoying life the way it should? No. And I know people on dialysis, and you're going, you wouldn't swap a day in their seat.
Nope.
Not at all. So here's what I'm here. There are people in church. There are people in this church, and you guys are vital. You are vital and valuable to what the whole body does, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, say, I'm vital. I'm good looking. I'm pretty great, okay? And it's going to take every one of us. It's going to take every one of us,
all right?
And, you know, when somebody flakes out, ditches out, takes a left turn, it affects. They're missed. They're not functioning. You know, it's just not much fun. Amen. All right, turn over to Ephesians 4. How am I doing? We're doing great today. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 16. Praise God. Ephesians 4, 16. Man, I wanted to read the whole chapter, but should I start at 15? Oh, I'll do 15. But speaking the truth in love, I love that part. I used to yell at my kids, speak the truth in love. Grow up. In all things unto him who is the head. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Okay, so what's this mean? Does anybody know what particle board is? Particle board is pieces of wood that they somehow smush and glue or heat, I don't know, but they make it into one big board, these little pieces of wood. They make it into this one big board, and it's supposed to be then strong as wood, as strong as a single piece of wood. Now, let me go with my story for all you know the exact details, but that's what it's supposed to be, all right? Particle board, when it's all smushed together and whatever they do that, is as strong as a piece of wood. But it's interesting. The strength comes when all the pieces are in unity. All right? Also, you separate those pieces. There's just those little pieces of wood. All right? So, listen, churches don't function unless you're all together. Right? You all together. All right? Now, really, Pastor D, changing diapers in the nursery is effective? Really, Pastor D, cutting the lawn as a ministry is effective? Absolutely. You know why? Because, especially the lawn, people drive up and they see, wow, this place looks really good, spit and polish. That means they're going to take care of me because I'm a mess. But if the place is looking messy, they're like, man, I'm a mess. This place looks like a mess. We're not going to get any better. All right? So people drive up, come on in. My greeters are smiling. The ushers are giving them the big pearly whites here. And they go down and toss their kid in the nursery. And they're like, oh, you have the cutest baby. Whoa. And you know what? It affects the people that come in this place. Because everybody's being active, functioning, and serving. Isn't that wonderful? So yeah, the whole place. So you're a joint, not pot. You're a joint, okay? That's what the Bible says. You are a joint, and you're knitted together. To no story time over here. All right? And you're knitted together, and you make this one body that grows. Now people say, oh, Pastor D, church isn't about numbers. Heck yes, it is. Got the book in the Old Testament, it's called the Book of Numbers. But church is about numbers, according to this verse, that it would grow. So when all these members and joints are knit together, it will grow and it'll edify one another and everybody that comes in. Okay? Now, okay, praise the Lord. How do we wrap up here? Wow. Wrapping up. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let me ask you this. Is there anybody in this room that you know their faults? In a church, we're a mess. We have stuff that happens in our life. And you're not perfect. But in a church that is functioning like they're supposed to, we're going to cover one another. All right? So, yeah. And we're quirky. You're just weird and quirky. But you know, when we start functioning the right way and we cover one another and we kind of rub together and polish up one another and correct and love one another, we become this beautiful church. So yeah, we know faults, all right? But I'm not telling them. All righty. Now in closing, let me say this. Write this down. I'm closing. Your question should be, how do you become a member of church, a member like the Bible says, okay? Not country club, all right? Number one, give abundantly and serve crazy. Now, I'm not talking about your money, though yes, but no, but give abundantly and then serve hilariously. Just serve passionately. That's how you become a church, a functioning one. Number two, start by praying. Start praying. Write that number two, real simple. Start praying and don't say, God, should I serve? Because listen, I just proved beyond a shadow of a doubt. Guess what we do? When we come to church, we come as a body to serve. So start praying, God, how do I serve? Okay, how can I serve my local body? All right? What can I do to be serving in the local church? And, you know, by the way, it's not just here on Sunday morning. We have some things outside of the church. Just ask me about it. And you can serve some of these things that are part of the church, but you don't always see it. So, one, give and serve. Two, start praying. Three, remember you're a part of a body. And you are functioning. Remember that. And you are serving and you are to be active. Fourth, what are the benefits? I tell you, the benefits personally to me is I'm happier. Who was I telling this morning? I could probably be a hermit really easily. Believe it or not, I would just never leave my house. I like my house. Kind of like me. I like to cook. I just would go to the grocery store and I would be us four no more. But that doesn't make me a happy person. It's not the best thing for anybody, okay? But I found that serving makes me happy because it starts transforming me. Okay, actually, you have transformed me. And you guys, you have transformed me by serving. You guys, you make us better. All right? I'm better. Thank you. All right? Now, probably the best thing Jack and I ever did with our kids is we made them serve. And they were never too young to serve. I remember Jack was friends. He was so funny. He was probably the only white pastor who was a member of the Black Ministers Association. I don't know how we did it. They still have his name up on something like that. But we went to serve Thanksgiving dinner. My kids, they were little, serving. And we weren't serving actually the church. The church, this downtown church, predominantly Black Americans, were serving to their community. And my kids were kind of petrified when they first walked in. Till the end of the afternoon, we did it in the morning because then we went and had Thanksgiving at my house. But till the end of the morning, I was like, come on, we got to go. And they didn't want to leave. They were having a blast. They had fun serving. Okay, so you can have fun serving. Okay, little golden nugget. If you have kids, make them. Actually, you teach them, but you make them until they learn that they've been taught. You make them serve, all right? So you make them serve. You know why you make them serve? Why you serve? Because it washes selfishness out of you. It gets selfishness, and I'm ugly when I'm selfish. And like I told about Brenton, it just gets the weird out of you. All right. So when you are a part of a local body, serving one by what next to another, you just become transformed, and great things happen. I remember down in the lower corner, dear Jack loved flower beds. After he passed away, I mowed them over, all over. That was it. You know why? Because they all had poison ivy, and I would get poison ivy every single time. I just like, and they were high maintenance. So we mowed them over. I bet you he wasn't in the grave 3 months. I said, that's it. We're going to get this mountain over here. But the one good thing about those lovely flower beds that I would never know what the difference between poison ivy and is a weed is that I would come to work day and work with people. And this one lady, oh, what's her name? Last name. I don't want to give last name. I got her last name. Anyway, I knew her to say hi. I'm Pastor D, and she knew my name. Okay. But we had to work together for work day down in there. And I learned all about her kid, who was really similar to my kid, that we started praying for one another. And every Sunday afterwards, we'd go, hey, how'd it go this week? Okay, let's pray again. I got transformed by somebody else's life by serving. Has anybody's lives been changed by serving? I know Miss Penny. I know you guys, okay? So, okay, how about you all stand up here? I know. Praise the Lord. Carol, can you put that pledge on the thingamajigger? Thank you. You know, they have pledge cards where you sign up and you pledge to give money at churches. But this is going to be, I pledge to the Lord, because this is his church, okay? I may be, he's the chief shepherd, so I'm the under shepherd. But we're going to pledge to him. And it goes like, can you say this? I decree I am a member of the body of Christ. I am a church member, and because I am a church member, I must be functioning member. Be active. I will serve. I will minister. I will look to be a blessing to others. That's my hope and desire. Amen. 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 I praise God. Now, let me just say this while you're all standing here. There are bunches of you that are world-class servers. Matter of fact, Jack used to have a rule, after 3 hours, we're going to fire you and give you a cake because you serve more than 3 hours. All right, some of you just do enormous, enormous things. The problem is you probably shouldn't be doing as much as you do because we want to give part to everybody. But for all of you that you're going, oh, you know what? This is the day. You know what it is? This is the day where you're going to say, you're going to pray and ask God, God, where's my part? I want to get in on this party. That's right. You want to get in on the party? Well, you ask him, all right? Amen. Amen. I wanted to say one more thing. Praise God. This is an opportunity to practice to be a doer of the word. Okay, when you're not a doer of the word, in children's ministry, we call you big butt Christians. And Sherry corrected me yesterday. She got her little thing, Mom, you have to stop talking to them. They're like kids. I said, okay. So don't tell her I said that. But this is an opportunity to serve. We have communion fellowship right now. And I will need all the ushers up front and any able men. Are you given the directions? You did? Did Bob call you? Okay, and you can meet my brother-in-law, Jim, up here in the corner, and he'll give all you servers functioning, being active guys, and even if you have to go home and you're not going to stay, you can help get this all straightened out. All you ladies, there are crock pots. Do we need guys to carry those crock pots up because they're a little heavy? Yeah, we do need guys to carry crock pots up here. So anyway, go have fun. Say, hi, my name is Active, and I want to meet you.